Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Brett's Neuroscience Podcast, an interesting podcast on the topic of neuroscience. Today, we will discuss interbrain synchrony of brainwaves and enhanced behavioral coordination under perceived societal threat. The topic comes from a research paper that I read recently entitled The Role of Gamma Interbrain Synchrony in Social Coordination When Humans Face Territorial Threats. The study and the paper were authored by Yan Mu, Shi-Hui Han, and Michelle J. Gelfand. This research comes out of China. I'll give a synopsis of the abstract, introduction, methods, discussion, and then follow up with some questions I had about the paper. So here we go, starting with the abstract. Through human history in the modern era, humans have continually experienced societal threats, from natural disasters to pandemics to terrorism. Very little research has been done, though, to see how societal threat affects social coordination at the neural level and behaviorally. The study shows that individuals are better able to coordinate under high societal threat compared to low or no threat. With hyperscanning electroencephalography, which measures brain activity between interacting subjects simultaneously, the study shows that interbrain synchrony of gamma band oscillations becomes enhanced under high threat, and the increased gamma interbrain synchrony associates with lower interpersonal time lag, or else higher coordination. Hence, interbrain synchrony associates with social coordination of humans under threat. And now for the introduction. Throughout the 200,000-year history of humans, numerous events have threatened our survival, including ecological threats like natural disasters, scarcity of resources, pathogens, along with human-caused threats of territorial invasions. In the 21st century, humans continue to experience threats to human groups such as climate change, pandemics, and terrorism. Evolutionarily speaking, human ability to synchronize actions under threat would give a survival advantage. So the purpose of this study was to measure the brainwave synchronization between subjects along with behavioral coordination to see if an association exists between these coordinating factors. Previous studies using hyperscanning electroencephalography have shown interbrain synchrony plays crucial roles in forms of human coordination, such as the ability to synchronize body movements. This study complements other research in this area with examining the role that interbrain synchrony plays in coordinating behavior when humans are under threat. The study was broken up into two experiments. Experiment 1 examined whether dyads, or two people interacting, exposed to an in-group threat would show greater behavioral coordination when compared to dyads exposed to an out-group threat or no threat control conditions. Experiment 2 combined hyperscanning electroencephalography with the in-group threat, the out-group threat, and the no-threat control condition, along with the same game that measured behavioral coordination in Experiment 1. The second experiment was used to see whether interbrain synchrony helps increase behavioral coordination under conditions of high societal threat. The dual electroencephalography setup tested how societal threat affects interbrain synchrony while subjects try to coordinate behavior. Previous hyperscanning electroencephalography studies have shown alpha interbrain synchrony activated during a wide array of social coordination tasks, including interactional synchrony, coordinated teamwork, and synchronized counting. Hence, the study examined whether alpha interbrain synchrony was recruited to facilitate social coordination in this context not yet studied, that of societal threat. Other bands of interbrain synchrony were examined as well, which may be relevant to social coordination under threat, namely the gamma band, which is high frequency or greater than 28 Hz, that is a threat-sensitive neuromarker. Single brain analysis shows that gamma band oscillations contribute to threat detection, involving a subcortical network that links to the amygdala, the fear center of the brain. The amygdala plays a highly important role in processing threat-related stimuli like fearful images and threat-related words. Gamma activity is higher in patients experiencing chronic fear also. Therefore, if threat affects coordination between two people by modulating interbrain synchrony from threat processing, it would be expected that gamma band synchrony may associate with human coordination under threat. Now for the methods. In experiment 1, 90 college students were chosen from a Chinese university. For the societal threat manipulation, there was an in-group threat, an out-group threat, and an in-group no-threat condition. For the in-group threat condition, subjects read an article reporting that their own country, China, faced serious external threat from neighboring Japan. An excerpt for this portion included, the report points out that China is facing serious external threats from its neighbor, Japan. Japan has an increase of 2% on military expenditures this year. This is 1.6 times greater than China totally. People in China have to be concerned about the external threats on their territory. For the out-group experimental condition, subjects read an identical article in which the threat was also given, but not on their country's soil. It described another country, Ethiopia, facing serious external threats from neighbors, including Eritrea. Excerpts include, the report points out that Ethiopia is facing serious external threats from its neighbors. Eritrea has an increase of 2% on military expenditures this year. People in Ethiopia have to be concerned about external threats on their territory. The in-group no-threat control condition included, subjects reading an article describing non-threatening events occurring on their own soil. An example is, the report points out that China is predicted to become a market receptive to electric vehicles in the next 5 years. This in-group no-threat control condition was included to ensure that any effects of in-group threat were not due to referring to the in-group China, but were due to exposing to high in-group threat specifically. Once participants finished reading the article, they were asked to summarize the article and list 3 to 4 representative keywords for the article to make sure they read it carefully and understood it. After the societal threat was given, a coordination game followed. In order to test the effect of the threat on behavioral coordination, a real-time coordination game was administered to subjects following the social threat manipulation. Two subjects seated in soundproof rooms were separated with two monitors. They were given a handout saying that the second study investigates the ability to count time in the mind without a clock or watch. Each subject was asked to synchronize with a partner, the coordination task, or a computer, the control task, by attempting to finish counting at the same time in a within-subject design. The computer control condition was included to exclude the possibility of effects of the threat on coordination to make sure that they weren't due to unrelated psychological factors such as arousal level, motor preparation, or feedback learning. There were 20 practice trials completed before completing the actual task. The task had 4 sessions. Each included 10 trial blocks. Each block started with a 3-second instruction for the coordination or control tasks. Half the sessions started with coordination tasks and half with the control task. During each trial, the computer monitor showed an integer from 6 to 10 that indicated the time in seconds that the pair should silently count to. Then the subjects silently counted while looking at a fixation point and pressed a key on the keyboard when finished counting. Feedback bars were then presented for 1 second. A higher bar represented feedback of longer counting time for each trial to give the pair or the dyad feedback on relative synchronized performance. A computer program was used to calculate time lags between each subject and the partner and then rated time lags on a 9-point scale from 1 extremely slow to 9 extremely fast. Subjects were given a picture of 2 bars for each trial that illustrated relative performance based on the rating. The bars next to one another were without numerical information, which showed relative speed discrepancy between individuals, analogous to feedback we receive from others daily during social coordination. For motivation to synchronize counting, subjects were given a point for each successful synchronous response, meaning that if they coordinated with one another less than 150 milliseconds between responses or between the response of a participant and the computer, they were given a point. Now onto the results. An analysis of variance, statistical analysis, was performed on interpersonal time lags with smaller time lags showing greater coordination. The results showed a task effect where smaller interpersonal time lags existed, which was representative of greater coordination in coordination task than in control task. That means that when people worked together, they had greater coordination than when they worked with a computer. Hence, in-group threat increased behavioral coordination according to the results as well. Analyses showed lower interpersonal time lag of coordination versus control tasks for the in-group threat condition than the out-group threat condition. Therefore, the dyads, or the pairs interacting, the pair of people interacting under high threat, showed greater interpersonal coordination than those under low threat or no threat. For the discussion, here we go. From the Boston bombing to the SARS epidemic to tsunamis, societal threats exist for human groups continuously. Recent evolutionary game theoretic models show that groups facing high degrees of threat develop more coordination and cooperation for survival compared to those that face little threat. The first experiment shows that societal threat manipulation can increase coordination in this game. Some first empirical evidence that human dyads show greater coordination when they are subjected to societal threat. So the second goal was to find whether and which interbrain mechanisms support social coordination among dyads, or pairs of people interacting under the high societal threat. Thus, hyperscanning electroencephalography was used with the same coordination game. So on to experiment two, which incorporated the hyperscanning electroencephalography with the game that was presented in experiment one. For experiment two, 90 subjects were recruited. There were 15 same gender dyads assigned to three conditions: the in-group threat, the out-group threat, and the in-group no-threat control. As with experiment one, no differences in age, political ideologies, socioeconomic statuses were used for control of individual differences. For the societal threat manipulation, the societal threat manipulation was identical to experiment one. It was performed 30 minutes before electroencephalographic recording started. For the coordination game in experiment two, they had the same coordination game as in experiment one, only this time the electroencephalographic signals were recorded simultaneously after the threat manipulation, 30 minutes after the threat manipulation. For the dual electroencephalographic setup and data acquisition, electroencephalographic signals were recorded from 30 electrodes arranged according to their international 10 to 20 system. Analysis of interbrain synchrony included interbrain phase locking value index to estimate interbrain phase synchrony between two interacting individuals. This was used to measure whether brainwave signals from two interacting individuals are phase locked across time. The electroencephalographic signal from each trial was segmented from 200 milliseconds before the counting in the counting exercise to 6 seconds after onset of number presentation. The interbrain phase locking value, or PLV, at a time and frequency was calculated as absolute value of the sum of the phase differences of two electrodes from two individuals of a dyad. Zero indicates randomly dispersed phases, and one indicates fully phase-locked oscillations between the subject's brain activity in both the coordination and computer control tasks. In the computer control tasks, simultaneously, there was a collection from the two subjects' brain activity, even though they were not interacting with one another, but were interacting with the computer on the same counting task. The phase lock value in the control task was used as a control, reflecting interbrain phase synchronization between subjects when asked to count in time with the computer. The PLV was calculated at electrodes at four brain areas: the frontal lobe, the central, the parietal, and the occipital lobes. Brain wave frequencies for the phase locking value calculation were the delta at 2 to 4 hertz, the theta at 5 to 7 hertz, the alpha at 8 to 13 hertz, the beta at 14 to 28 hertz, and the gamma at 28 to 40 hertz. Analyses of variance were run for the task, the coordination versus control, and times the threat, the in-group threat, out-group threat, and in-group no-threat control. For the results of experiment 2 regarding interpersonal time lag, task, by threat, analysis of variance was run on interpersonal time lag, confirming a robust effect. The interaction between threat and task replicated the findings from experiment 1. The in-group threat condition relative to other two conditions gave smaller interpersonal time lag for coordination as compared to the control situation. So the coordination situation was where two people were interacting. The control situation was where both people were interacting with the computer in order to synchronize their behavior, in this case, the counting. Further statistical analyses were conducted. Two-way analyses of variance suggest that societal threat decreases the time lag between participants that coordinate with each other rather than the societal threat just making the participants slower. As far as the interbrain synchrony results go, the interbrain phase locking value was used to determine whether interbrain synchrony occurred between two interacting individuals under societal threat. At 2 to 3 seconds, a significant threat by task coordination interaction took place for widespread brain regions. The results indicate that people under high societal threat have greater interbrain synchrony and gamma oscillation. Further statistical analyses confirmed gamma interbrain synchrony mediated the effect of in-group threat on interpersonal coordination. This supports the hypothesis that increased societal threat facilitates interpersonal coordination through coupling individuals' brain oscillations, namely in the gamma band frequency. This effect of threat on coordination was not shown in any other brainwave band, suggesting that societal threat modulates gamma activity selectively. For the discussion of experiment 2, we go on to see that humans have encountered societal threats on human groups throughout the history of our species, from ecological or natural disasters to man-made threats such as invasions. Coordinating behavior under conditions of threat would confer a survival advantage, evolutionarily speaking. This thought has been supported with recent evolutionary game theoretic models. This process of neural and behavioral coordination had not yet been examined empirically. Experiment 1 showed that behavioral coordination is enhanced under societal threat. Experiment 2 went on to provide evidence of a neural mechanism involved in the coordination process via synchronizing two brains' high-frequency gamma oscillations. Single-brain research has previously shown that gamma activity is involved in processing threat, and this research supports that. Further, gamma synchronization is associated with the social coordination of humans under social threat. Previous hyperscanning electroencephalographic studies have shown social coordination involves synchrony between two people with oscillatory activity in multiple bands. Theta band in speech coordination, alpha band in mental coordination, and beta band in hand movement synchronization. Previous research has not examined how interbrain activity may change with social context in which the coordination occurs. This study showed that societal threat invoke threat-related neural representation, the gamma band activity. Across all conditions, coordinating with human partner as opposed to a computer invokes theta and beta band activity, but not gamma band activity. This gives rise to the author's speculation that features of tasks and context affect specific aspects of brain synchrony. There may be two levels of neural systems supporting coordination among humans. Under non-threatening and routine contexts, coordination may recruit first-level neural systems, lower-frequency band activities such as theta and alpha, to regulate and monitor behavior. Under high-threat or novel contexts, brains may trigger second-level neural systems, high-frequency activities in the gamma band region, that support shared emotional representation among individuals, which enables them to coordinate better under societal threat. The gamma activity synchrony occurs at 2 to 3 seconds, an early window compared to previous research showing alpha activity occurring at 4 to 5 seconds. The two bands, gamma and alpha, may serve different functional roles in behavioral coordination. Alpha activity interbrain synchrony is closer to behavioral responses, so that maybe it modulates motor preparation and control processing to invoke behavioral responses. The gamma effect, which occurs earlier, may help during stages where dyads perform mental adjustment to cope with perception of threat rather than helping the regulation of motor responses. A limitation to hyperscanning electroencephalography is spatial resolution, which means that it cannot account for what brain regions are synchronized in gamma bands during perceived societal threat. Previous studies using magnetoencephalography have shown that the amygdala generates gamma oscillations, which selectively codes presence of threat and stimuli that convey fear. This study gave evidence for interbrain synchrony that arises as participants work together to reach a joint goal. The authors believe that interbrain synchrony in the study reflects a unique interbrain mechanism of two interacting subjects trying to coordinate under high societal threat, which can't be simply called similar brain activities among two individuals performing the same task. The study seems to be the first study to show the role of shared neural representations or brain synchrony in social coordination under societal threat. The father of sociology, Emile Durkheim, argued decades ago that groups are made powerful by sharing thought and action processes, what he termed the collective effervescence. Sharing gamma activity may be a mechanism by which humans have the collective ability among human groups, especially with societal threat. These neural findings of synchronized interbrain networks may be relevant to a spectrum of collective phenomena, whether it is why rituals bind people in such powerful ways for human groups, how humans coordinate and respond to terrorist threats in the modern world, and why extreme events such as earthquakes or 9/11 lead to collective action among humans. For social neuroscience research, this entails moving beyond single brain analysis to the study of collective brain processes of human groups. Social organizational phenomena can also be measured with hyperscanning, electroencephalography, such as group decision-making, negotiation, and leadership. So that concludes the explanation of the paper. Now on to questions that arise through thought on the paper. So my biggest question is, these two individuals were put in a room, a soundproof room, and separated by monitors. They didn't have eye contact with one another, and they weren't speaking with one another. What could be an explanation that would give rise to the unique interbrain mechanism whereby they have synchronized gamma bands? It doesn't make sense to me. Could there be pheromones? Could there be haptic coupling? Haptic coupling would entail electrical communication between two central nervous systems, in this case, the dyad, the two individuals interacting. There's a lot to think about with this paper, and there are a lot of implications associated with some of the findings of this paper. Anyway, that concludes the second episode of Brett's Neuroscience Podcast. Brett's Neuroscience Podcast, an interesting podcast. I thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll join me. I'll have a new podcast up very soon. Please feel free to write comments and give questions, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. I thank you for joining me, and have a wonderful day.